Amen.
I hope to be settled by Saturday or in there anyhow by Saturday afternoon.
And yeah. This coming Saturday.
Oh, praise the Lord. All right, folks. Well, let's grab our hymnals for our final hymn this morning prior to the message. Great testimonies this morning and a great blessing that the Lord just opened the Red Sea for Sister Addie because she had nowhere to go, you know, at the end of this month. And now she has a beautiful apartment to move into and we can help her move in there next Saturday. Oh, what a blessing. We'll have her nice and close to the... Oh, by the way, Addie, church bus comes right by your new place. Yeah, yeah, we'll get you for the evening services. We have a ball in the van.
You do.
We're a crazy bunch, but you'll fit right in. Oh yeah, hymn 52. Let's stand. And we always have the worship music going too. 52. We'll sing the all three. Victory! Oh yeah. Thank you.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. Of his precious blood's atoning, then I repented of my sin, won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his. Plunge me to victory beneath that cleansing blood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, a broken spirit, and somehow Jesus came and brought to me that victory.
Everybody,
oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. And I heard about those streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of the victory.
Here we go!
Oh, victory! Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is through him. He plunged me.
Oh, yeah. Please be seated, church.
Oh, fantastic singing this morning. And I love some of your faces. You're just lifting your hands to the Lord while we're singing that song. And I could see the joy in your soul that you've got that victory that He came to give. Oh, boy, there's nothing like it. And as we see the world going further and further away from Him, it sure is good to be drawing closer and closer to Him. Amen?
Sign outside?
Sure. Yeah, somebody can grab that. No problem.
Well, there was a lady that just pulled in.
Oh, really?
I had that trouble when I first came here because I was early.
Yeah, it does help. I love my new Bible cover. My sister got me for my birthday. And the new preacher Bible. Isn't that something?
There was a lady
she's
nice. Over here.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
The good thing is that we've got the van out there that has the
cake. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
That's one good thing.
But that
American bald eagle, it's embroidered on there. I love the yellow beak and the white. Isn't that something? That is special. Go out there and lasso her. Bring her in.
Actually, there was a lady who kind of slowed down, and she may have been looking there.
Yeah.
So,
praise the Lord for that.
But maybe we can also place the van in a way to where it's more visible, Pastor.
Yeah.
So that if the sign is not out there, the van really shows it.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It's a walking billboard.
Yes, it
driving,
is.
I should say.
That in itself would be helpful to draw people in.
I
mean,
I
yeah.
was for a church, and I didn't know Paul, and then I go by, and then the next time I go by the sign, we go, oh, that's it.
Well, praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab our Bibles this morning at this time. And please open up to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55 for this morning's sermon. And folks, chapter 55 of Isaiah. We certainly don't have much time left. Amen?
Amen.
Because the Lord's fixing to come back really quick.
Yes, amen.
I mean, the way things are going in the Middle East and Russia and Iran and Syria and Iraq, there is genocide going on against the Christians in Iraq and Syria right now. ISIS is slaughtering us by the hundreds, men, women, and children. Folks, CNN will not report this, but there is genocide going on against Christendom in the Middle East. And I'm here to tell you this morning that we don't have much time left to serve the Lord. He's coming back. He's going to put a stop to it. But here in Isaiah chapter 55, I'd ask you to stand for the reading of God's holy word. I want to speak to you a message this morning that I've entitled, Seeking God Scripturally. Seeking God Scripturally. And in Isaiah 55, it's amazing today that the world seems to think that they can seek God or not any old way they feel like it, and it's not true. The devil has sold them a bill of goods, and it's a lie from the pit of hell. Look with me in verse number 6, Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I want to speak to you this morning on seeking God scripturally. Father in heaven, how we thank you for your word this morning here in Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. And Lord, how we thank you that you make it so clear that repentance is a requirement. And repentance is not a work, but repentance is a change of heart toward sin and toward God and toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm so thankful that you're crying out this morning to the entire world to forsake their own way and seek the Lord before it's too late. No, God, we pray for your richest blessings by your Holy Spirit upon this message. We pray that as a result of preaching this morning, multitudes of precious souls will come into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray, dear Lord, that the message would go worldwide, via the internet even, the website, and the YouTube, and all of the various outlets that we have, that souls would be saved, Lord, that lives would be transformed, and that Jesus Christ would be glorified. As a result, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated, church. Now here, beloved, in the 55th of Isaiah, we find the prophet earnestly calling out to the lost of all nations to seek both the knowledge and favor of God before it's too late. Brethren, my soul is stirred this morning with a sense of the urgency of the hour in which we live. And I believe that today, with all that is occurring in the Middle East and around the world, that we are growing ever closer and nearer to the time of the Lord's return. And if ever there was a time when people needed to seek after God, the time is now.
Amen.
But He must be sought after, beloved, in the right way. God must be sought after scripturally, and not in any old way that man feels like it. Amen? God has given us the knowledge of how He wants us to seek Him in His Word. And I want to give you 1, 2, 3, 4, four things this morning concerning seeking God scripturally. I want us to consider each. First, let's inquire, what is implied in seeking the Lord? What does the prophet mean by saying seek the Lord? Well, look with me here in verse number 6. We read, seek ye the Lord. Well, He may be found. Number one, Isaiah cries out to the world to seek after the Lord. And notice the ye there in verse number 6. You could put your name right in the text. Seek ye the Lord. Not my mother, not my brother, not my father, but me, O Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. Listen, folks, we need to seek God like we've never sought Him before.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you this morning, church, that you're not going to stand if you're not seeking Him daily. You need Jesus Christ to get through these evil times. The problem is, brethren, that most people have a false conception of what it means to seek the Lord. Most people think that going to church once a week is seeking God, or that attending, getting baptized, or putting money in the offering plate, or saying a prayer at the dinner table is what it means to seek the Lord. But that's not what the Bible says. Amen? The Bible makes it clear that if you're going to seek after the living God, you've got to do it in a certain manner. I want to give you three ways that this text implies on how we need to seek the Lord. First, seeking the Lord means to seek the knowledge of God that was lost by the fall. That is the knowledge of God by supernatural revelation communicated by His Spirit through His Word. Number one, if you're going to be seeking God, you've got to seek Him through the knowledge of God. Look at verse number 8. God says, here's why. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God says, my word has a purpose. I send it into the earth that it may bring forth fruit. Amen? Oh, folks, how we need to seek the knowledge of God if we're going to ever find Him. We can't seek it through Buddha. We can't seek it through Guru Maharishi. We can't seek it through the Dalai Lama or the Pope. We need to seek it through the knowledge of God, which is the Word of God, verse 11 says. Oh, folks, we need to seek God through His Word. But secondly, seeking the Lord implies it means to seek His favor and forgiveness. Amen? Look at verse number 3. In chapter 55, look at verse 3. Seeking God means seeking His favor and forgiveness. He says, incline your ear. Now, this is God speaking. Amen? Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. God makes a declaration to this world that if you will seek him sincerely, he will be found of you, and he will give you mercy, even the sure mercies of David, making an everlasting covenant with you. That's the new covenant. Amen? I am so thankful that God is ready, willing, and able to forgive whosoever will call upon his name and seek his face. And he wants to do it, but folks won't let him. The third thing, there's another implication. What does it mean to seek the Lord? It means to seek communion with him. Amen? Seeking God means seeking communion with him. Look with me here in verse number 1. Ho! I like that. Ho! Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. You know what the Lord is saying? He's saying, I'm what you need to satisfy your soul. He's saying, seek communion with me, and I will fill you with joy and peace and delight. Amen? That's what it's like to commune with God. It's beautiful. There's nothing that can surpass it in all the world. Communion with the Lord is what we need. And he says it's free. I'm here for you if you'll only accept me. Seeking God means seeking the knowledge of God. Seeking God means seeking God's favor and forgiveness. Seeking God means seeking communion with him. We must desire that communion. It won't happen by mistake. Another human being can't do it for you. It must come from the heart. Listen, in the 18th century, 1773 to be exact, Horace Bushnell, who would afterwards become the great American theologian, he was a tutor at Yale University. Convinced that his life was meaningless and not worth living, Bushnell began to seek after God. For days and days, he could not eat, sleep, or function. But he continued to seek after truth. Finally, one of his students, who was a strong Christian, told him about God's Son. He showed him what the Bible said about salvation. The rest is history. Horace Bushnell, the great theologue. Oh yeah, man of God. Why? Because it came a time in his life where he began to seek after God. Oh, I'll never forget the day when I began to seek after the Lord. It's all my sister's fault because she told me from the Bible that I was on my way to hell. And I said, man, if she's right, I'm in big trouble. And I began to seek after truth like Bushnell did. And you know, the Lord led me. I went to all these different churches. And this one Methodist church, the minister with the robe would get up and he'd do magic tricks during the offering. I mean, magic tricks, man. And I was like, this one in Christianity, is this it, Lord? You know, I went to the Presbyterian. I went all over. And I couldn't find the truth until finally one day, my sister took me to her church. Uh-oh. Was I ever in trouble? Because her church opened the Bible and showed me what the Bible said about being saved. And as a result of seeking the Lord, I found him. Amen? Oh, beloved, seeking the Lord is serious business in how folks need to seek him today. But secondly, this morning, quickly, we must inquire how or in what way the Lord must be sought. Look with me here again in our text. Look at verse 6. Watch what he says. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Now notice here that the prophet by the Holy Ghost tells us exactly in what manner we must seek after God. You cannot seek God any old way you feel like. And unless a person is willing to submit to God's way of seeking him, he or she will never find him. Did you hear what I said? This is how vitally important our Bible-believing Baptist churches are. That we are telling the world how they can seek God and find him. No one else is doing that. You're not going to find that in a secular university. You're not going to find that in Washington, D.C. No, it is the church's responsibility to show them the way. Four ways I see from our text on what way the Lord must be sought. First, how must we seek Him? First, we must seek Him by prayer. Look at it, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. What's the next word? Call ye upon Him while He is near. He says you need to call upon God. You need to pray to God. There's only one prayer that God wants to hear from a lost man, and that is the prayer of salvation.
Amen.
That's what He wants to hear. Any other prayer go right through His ears, over His head, bounce off the ceiling. But He wants you to pray and seek Him and seek His forgiveness. Isn't that good? Now listen carefully. If a person is not willing to call upon the name of the Lord, His name is Jesus, by the way. If a person is not willing to call upon that name in prayer, that person is doomed to eternal separation from God. It's just the way it is. In Romans 10, verse 13, don't turn there. Paul said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've got to call. You've got to call. You've got to pray and ask for salvation. Psalm 18, verse 31, David says it this way. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. I'm going to pray to my God because He's worthy. Not only is He worthy to pray to, but folks, He's the prayer answerer. Aren't you glad of that?
Yeah.
And once that lost soul prays for salvation, then all his prayers can be answered from his heavenly Father.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ's name. But the first way we must seek Him is by prayer. Secondly, how must we seek Him? We must seek Him, secondly, by outward repentance. Look at verse 7 again. Let the wicked, what?
Forsake
his ways. Let the wicked forsake his ways. His ways are his doings, actions, lifestyle, sins. And he's saying, let him turn. Let him repent from that wickedness and turn to the Lord. You know, there's another gospel going around. The gospel, I call it easy believism, where you can take your liquor and your porno and all your sin along with you with Jesus and say, hey, I'm going with Jesus now. No, no. You turn from that. Here's what repentance is. Somebody said, what is repentance? It's simple. It's a 180-degree turn. You're going this way, the devil's way. Jesus Christ is behind you. And you're walking along, and all of a sudden you went, wait a minute, I'm going to go to hell. And you realize you need Jesus Christ, and you turn, whoop, 180 degrees around. Now you're going toward Jesus Christ, leaving your sin behind.
Amen.
That's what repentance is. Amen. He says, let the wicked forsake his way. That's his ways, beloved. Now listen, he's saying there must be a turning away from evil if one is to find the Lord. But thirdly, how must we seek Him? We must seek Him by inward repentance, not just outward. Look at verse 7 again. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his what?
Thoughts.
He goes from outward man to inward man. He says, not only do you need to repent outwardly, you need to repent inwardly. And this is so much more important. Because you can come to church and you can carry the King James Bible and be full of sin and darkness.
Mm-hmm.
See, we have to be what we claim to be inwardly, in purity, in righteousness. There's got to be some sanctification of your life if you're saved. There's got to be some change. There's got to be some divine transformation. Because according to the Bible, the Holy Ghost is in you. He will make the change within that you could never make. There must be repentance inwardly. But thirdly, something else. Fourthly, how must we seek Him? We must seek Him by covenant. By covenant. Look with me here at verse 7 again. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. Now, beloved, listen to me. This word return, returning indicates agreement and commitment. Amen? Returning. Returning, that's when you agree with someone and you make a commitment with them. You know what God does? He says, anybody, man, woman, boy, or girl, who will come to me through my son, I will make an everlasting, look at it. You can see it in verse 3. Everlasting, what?
Covenant.
Covenant. What's a covenant? It begins with an A. Agreement. It's an agreement between two parties where the deal is sealed. And I'm so glad it's sealed forever, Val. I'm so glad that because it's everlasting, we cannot lose it. Oh, we need to seek him by covenant. This business of, oh, I was baptized. Oh, I go to the Catholic. I go to that church. Oh, no, I didn't ask you that. I asked you, are you saved? That's 2 Chronicles chapter 19. Hold your place in Isaiah. Flip over to 2 Chronicles chapter 19. I love the book of 2 Chronicles. It's a real action book. And in chapter 19, we have a king by the name of Jehoshaphat. How'd you guess? You know what Jehoshaphat did? Look here. In 2 Chronicles 19, verse 3. Speaking of Jehoshaphat. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee. And in that thou hast taken away the groves, the idols, out of the land. And hast prepared thine heart to what?
Seek God.
Seek God. See, you have to prepare your heart to seek God. It's not going to happen by accident. 4. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem. And he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. Not only was Jehoshaphat seeking God sincerely, but he was bringing the people to seek him with him. Isn't that good? Hey, one thing I want to do for you as your pastor is cause you to seek him more intimately. Seek him more closely. Seek him more sincerely. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 30 if you're still there. In chapter 30, we'll see it one more time before we move on. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. Look with me at verse 19. Verse 19. I'll show you what will cause joy. Hezekiah was one of the greatest kings Israel ever had. Look at it. Verse 19. That prepareth his heart. That's Hezekiah. See in verse 18. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Lord pardon everyone that prepareth his heart to what? To seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread. It's Passover. 7 days with great gladness. You're going to be glad when you seek him. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. And Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. And they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. Here we see the people of Israel, led by a godly king Hezekiah, entering into covenant with God. We're going to obey your commandments, Lord. We're going to walk with you. We got rid of all the idols, Lord. We want to worship the true and living God. Amen? Amen. It's a covenant agreement that you make seeking God. Listen, recently in Houston, Texas, a man entered into the headquarters of the Hoover Vacuum Cleaners main plant. He demanded to see Mr. Hoover at once. The man was wielding a large butcher knife and complaining that after 18 years of vacuuming, his vacuum cleaner finally died. He did not see the CEO, and as police were handcuffing him, he was promising revenge if he did not receive a full refund for his vacuum cleaner. Folks, he was seeking Mr. Hoover, but he was seeking him the wrong way. You don't come after God with a butcher knife. You don't come threatening God. Okay? And you ended up in jail. Why? Because you have to seek God scripturally. You have to seek him scripturally. You have to seek him according to his dictates and not your own. Oh, it's so important, beloved. But something else, quickly, let us consider when it is that we must seek the Lord. When is it that we must seek him? Back to our text. Look with me in Isaiah chapter 55. When must we seek him? I'm so glad you asked. Look at verse number 6 with me. In verse number 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Oh me, oh my. Did anybody hear that? You need to seek God while you have opportunity. Folks, Jesus said the night cometh when no man worketh. Yeah. Jesus says there's coming an end to this age of grace. You will go into the tribulation period. You will be ruled by the Antichrist. You will be under horrific conditions if you don't seek me now. Oh, beloved, he says, seek him when he is may be found. Seek him while he is near. Listen, did you know that even God has a breaking point? Oh, yeah. God has a breaking point. I mean, you can push him away and push him away and refuse his loving offers of salvation and continue on in your rebellion against his authority over your life, but mark it down. One day, there's coming a day when you'll wish you could go back in time and change it all. It will be too late. You'll have no opportunity to live again. Shirley MacLaine is wrong. There's no reincarnation. There's no second chance. You don't come back as a frog. Listen, you need to seek God while you can. Oh, if there's ever a message that's needed today, it's this one. Because time is running out, planet Earth. You need to seek Jesus Christ before it's too late. Proverbs chapter 1. Flip over to Proverbs just prior to Isaiah, after the Psalms, and go with me to Proverbs, prior to Ecclesiastes, Proverbs chapter 1. We have an incredible passage here about a man who refused to seek God, and now it's too late. Watch and learn. In Proverbs chapter 1, look with me at verse 24. God is speaking in verse 24. Because I have called, and ye what?
Refused.
Refused. Beloved, do you realize how many people God is speaking to here?
Yeah.
Not millions. Billions. Billions. Look at it. I've called, and ye refused. I've stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will what?
Laugh
at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. This is God speaking. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Someone's in the tribulation period. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek, notice the wording, they shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why would God do that? For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Beloved, listen to me. Salvation is a choice. Jesus Christ is a choice that you must make. Nobody can do that for you. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. God says there's coming a day when you're going to wish that you had sought me and called upon me while I was near, while I was available, while it was the age of grace. But they wouldn't. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, don't turn there. God says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. He says, don't delay. Paul says, don't put it off for another moment. Accept Jesus Christ today as your Savior before it's too late. Oh, folks, that cannot be emphasized enough, that we must call upon the Lord, Isaiah 55, 6, while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Here's what I believe. I believe that every human being on planet Earth will have a time during their lifetime on Earth where the Holy Spirit is drawing them to Jesus Christ. Now listen to me. When the Holy Spirit is working, softening that inner man and drawing them to Jesus Christ, a Christian's going to come along and say, let me tell you about Jesus.
Amen.
That person will have the decision of their life to make. Am I going to listen? And am I going to do what the Bible says? Or am I going to slam the door and say, get out of here? Most people opt for the second, because they don't want to seek God. They don't want Jesus Christ ruining their sinful lifestyle. Listen to me. There was a young poor man named Leonard Davidson in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, who in 1978 was promised a four-year, all-expense-paid scholarship to the University of Miami, the college of his dreams. All Leonard needed to do was to meet a representative of the university by 3 p.m. on Thursday, August the 3rd, 1978, in the library of Baton Rouge, along with 14 others who also were chosen to receive scholarships. But while on his way, Leonard ran into some old friends lost track of time, and arrived too late. And he never got his scholarship. You know why? He sought it at the wrong time. When God says you better come now before it's too late, you better come to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm talking to people this morning that will regret hearing these words one day. I should have listened to the preacher. I should have came to Jesus Christ when I had the chance. And now it's too late. The summer's passed and we are not saved. Woe unto them! All right, we've seen what is implied in seeking the Lord. We've seen how or in what way the Lord must be sought. We've seen when it is that we must seek Him. But finally, beloved, behold, listen, behold the gracious promise made to all those who seek Him His way. Look with me here in our text in verse 6 again. Notice the gracious promise. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Oh, church, I got good news in closing. We have two incredible divine promises from a God who cannot lie to all those who will seek Him sincerely. Listen, first, He promises that He will have mercy upon his soul. Look at it. Verse number 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. Now, even though past sins may be many, vile, aggravated, and long continued, although present corruption and temptation and evil habits be strong, although oppositions be many and apparently insurmountable, yet God will have mercy upon the one who calls upon His Son. Listen, folks, He will bestow mercy and grace and love upon every sinner who seeks Jesus Christ. It's why He died on the cross, so that He could bestow that mercy of God. He calls it, verse 3, the sure mercies of David. They're sure. They're solid. They'll never give out. I'm so glad of that. But another divine promise He makes, secondly, is that He will abundantly pardon that sinner. Look at verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Notice the wording here. He's not just going to pardon a little bitty. He's not just going to pardon from October of 1968. No, He's going to abundantly pardon all sin, past, present, and future. This is a beautiful text. Here is the greatest promise of the Bible, that God Almighty will pardon and forgive and remove our sins from us through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, forever. Wow! What a promise! How could anybody in the world say, couldn't be bothered? But how many do? They refuse to accept the grace of God. Go to chapter 1 of Isaiah quickly. Just thought of a verse. In chapter 1, watch what God says to the sinner today. In verse, and look at chapter 1 of Isaiah. And look with me at verse 18. Verse 18, God is speaking. Come when?
Now.
And let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You know what? You ladies can tell us real quick, us guys, red ink or blood is the hottest stain to get out of a white garment.
Yes.
Next to impossible, right? You wash it and wash it and wash it, it's still there. Why? It's red. He says, though your sins be red like crimson, they shall be white as snow. He says, I've got the power to wash them all away in the blood of my Son. Now, Psalm 53 verse 2 says, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning that God is looking down from heaven upon the sons of men. And He's looking to see if there are any that are seeking God. Anyone, anywhere, seeking God can find Him. I'm so thankful that he's available. I'm so thankful that we're still in the age of grace. I'm so thankful the rapture hasn't hit yet so that folks can still be saved today. I want to share a sad but true story in closing, beloved, and I'll be done, concerning seeking God. I was working in 1988 through 1997, almost 10 years, at Dighty Diaper Service in Rochester, New York. I was the diaper man, and yes, Matthew, I'd bring the nice, fluffy, white, beautiful, clean diapers and pick up the stinky, poopy, dirty ones. Oh, man! My truck smelled real sweet. Anyway, I had a supervisor named Gary, and I had a co-worker, a co-driver. He had his own route named Phil. They were both Catholic, and Phil, I tried witnessing to Phil in the break room, and he said, no, don't tell me about your Jesus. He said, I'm Catholic. I was born Catholic, and I'll die Catholic. You've heard it 1,000 times, right? Well, Phil died 3 months later of lung cancer. When I was witnessing to him, we didn't know he had cancer full of lungs in his lungs. Next guy was Gary, my supervisor, and we had to take a van over to get a new transmission one day. So we had about a 30-minute drive, and I said, Gary, do you know where you're going when you die? Oh, no, don't tell me about your Jesus. I don't want to hear it. I said, but Gary, no. He said, and this was his words to me. He said, I don't want anybody telling me what to do, and that includes God.
Wow, yeah.
You know what those guys refused to do? Gary, by the way, Gary died 3 months later of lung cancer.
Yeah.
I said, man, I better stop witnessing to people. They're dying like flies. Anyways, here's the point. Those two fellas, my heart breaks for them because they refuse to seek God scripturally. Folks, how we need to seek Him and seek Him scripturally before it's too late. My message today is seeking God scripturally. Father in heaven, how we thank you this morning for the message. Oh God, how we thank you that you are still available. You said, call upon the Lord while He is near. Seek His face while He's available. Lord, I pray this morning for those who may be listening to this message abroad. I pray for those who don't know Jesus Christ this morning. I'm so thankful that in this church I can see every member here is already saved. They've sought the Lord Jesus and found Him as their Savior from sin. But, oh God, there are countless multitudes of precious souls this morning that need salvation. They need redemption. They need regeneration. And only Jesus Christ can give it to them. So if you're listening to my voice right now and you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin, just pray like this. Pray like this in your heart of hearts. God hears your thoughts. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I do believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe that you came to earth 2,000 years ago. You lived a sinless, perfect, righteous life. You went to the cross. You shed your blood. You died for my sins on that cross. So right now, Lord Jesus, I'm turning from my sin. I'm repenting. And I'm coming to Jesus Christ right now. I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Take away my sins. Wash me whiter than snow in your blood. And give me your Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, save my soul. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, folks. Let's grab a hymnal at this time, and we will sing one. Altar is open. Perhaps you've got some poor lost sinner you want to pray for. Something the Lord's laid on your heart. Whatever the need, the altar is open. Let's open up to 260 as we close out this morning service. 260, we'll sing, What a Friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. So glad we've sought Him and found Him. And we'll sing all three. Yes, indeed. What a friend. Time is running out.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs.
on the second. Souls are at the altar praying. And perhaps every head bowed, every eye closed. Perhaps there may be one here today. You are saved. You sought the Lord Jesus Christ and you were saved. You are saved. You're a child of God. But maybe you haven't been seeking Him the way you need to seek Him daily. By an uplifted hand, you say, Pastor, pray for me. I see that hand. I see that hand and I see that hand. Put them down. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for these uplifted hands. They want to seek you more intimately. They want to seek you more deeply. They want to seek you more seriously. And oh, God, I thank you for the grace of Jesus Christ by your Holy Spirit to do so. Lord, touch these precious ones. And Lord, meet that need and enable them divinely to seek you more and seek you stronger. And then with every head bowed and every eye closed, you've got somebody that needs to be saved. By an uplifted hand, you say, Preacher, I've got someone that needs Jesus Christ. Everybody's hand is up. Everybody's hand is up. I want you to pray for them as we sing on the second in Jesus' name. Pray for that soul.
Heavenly trials and temptations. Is there trouble?
Listen,
we should never be discouraged.
Take
it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so
just a moment, folks, and we're going to have Brother Cal pray for dismiss us, and then please stay for just a moment.
Brother Cal?
Lord, we thank you for the message you've given us this morning. Thank you that we've been able to come out to hear this message, Lord. And mostly we thank you, Lord, that that door is still open because we're still seeking. We pray, Lord, that as we go through our days and those that we meet and we talk with, that if there are any who have not yet accepted you, but have been thinking that you'll burden their hearts, you'll burden their soul, and you'll help them turn their life over as they need to. We ask you, Lord, to walk with and guide each of us. Keep us safely in your arms and in the shadow of your hand, Lord, that we'll not succumb to the pitfalls and stumbling blocks of this world. We ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.